case you didn't recognize it, that was from Handel's Messiah. And that piece was composed nearly 300 years ago. It's one of the songs in that concert that I can actually understand all of the words. Some of the other songs in Handel's Messiah, I need subtitles because I can't really catch the operatic sort of language, I guess you could say. And I generally don't really care too much for that style of music, but that song and the Hallelujah Chorus, when those come on, you can't help but like fist pump when you're listening to that, you know, when it gets to the wonderful part, you know, and in the car, I can really hit all those high notes. They are, something to behold, let's put it that way. So this piece that Handel wrote is actually a quotation out of the book of Isaiah, a direct quotation, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning, in Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, the Old Testament prophet. Isaiah delivered his prophecies during the course of a 40-year ministry, and his prophecies were delivered 700 years before Jesus was born. So significant amount of time before Christ was even born. And chapter 9, specifically verse 6, contains one of the more well-known prophecies about his birth, about the life of Christ, and about the eternal reign that Jesus will have. And we've just heard it sung. It reads this way: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." When Isaiah penned these words, he was actually looking through the eyes of the Spirit at an event that was going to not happen for another 700 years. And it also gives allusion to the second coming of Christ, which is now 2,800 years and counting from the time when Isaiah wrote this prophecy. Isaiah didn't know when these events were going to occur, but he knew for sure that they were going to occur. Because God keeps his promises. In the generosity of God's amazing grace, the Lord God Almighty revealed to Isaiah the promise of a gift that he would give to this world. And the gift would be the most wonderful gift that the world has ever known. Recently, I was trying to think back on my own childhood, some of the gifts that my parents gave me as a kid. There was this one particular gift in 1987 that I received. You see, in November, about a month prior to Christmas, I happened to be looking through one of my mom's cabinets for something. I was innocent in this whole thing, really. I was not searching for anything. But I came across this strange... It was a box, a little bigger than a bread basket, and it was wrapped in my dad's thermal underwear. And as a 12-year-old kid, I was just a little curious, so I just decided to look. And lo and behold, it was an Atari 7800. I was so shocked. I'm like looking around, making sure that my parents, I'm like, look at this thing. It was like the Holy Grail for me at the time. I mean, it even came with Pole Position 2. I was in a bit of a dilemma, though, at that moment, because I was now aware of something I should not have necessarily known, so I had to keep a secret, which I think I've kept the secret now for 28 years now, spilled the beans, I don't know. And the other problem was I had to wait an entire month before I actually got to play with this thing. It was terrible. I wish I had not known of what it was. See, the other reason it was such a big surprise was my parents had always told my brother and I for years we'd been begging for a video game system. And they said, oh, it'll, you know, we can't get you one. It'll ruin your brain or whatever parents say these days. Whatever, the same thing now that we're telling our own kids as to why we're never going to have one of these kinds of video game systems. But But Isaiah, actually, the prophet Isaiah, found himself in somewhat of a similar situation. You see, the generosity of God was on display, and Isaiah had been delivered this incredible news about this gift that was to come. But now Isaiah had to wait for it to arrive. And actually, he had to wait more than a month. Actually, the gift didn't come for yet several hundred more years, way beyond Isaiah's lifetime. And what is this amazing gift that God has promised? It is the gift of a son, of a child. Prior to this passage, actually in chapter 7 of Isaiah, we receive additional clues as far as of what this gift was to come. So in chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah says this: "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God's promises are never early and they're never late. They're always right on time. And in this particular case, as we've said, nearly 700 years later, a virgin named Mary gave birth to a son in a little town of Bethlehem. And they called his name Jesus. He was literally God with us, Emmanuel. This incarnation, this birth of Christ in the flesh, it fulfilled many specific Old Testament prophecies. And it provides evidence that Jesus is the long-awaited Savior of the world. In addition to the birth of Christ, Isaiah's prophecy highlights several other descriptions about this Messiah, all of which were either seen in the glory of his life here on earth or will be revealed in his future reign after his second coming. In the first description that we see in Isaiah's prophecy is that of Wonderful Counselor. You see, during the first sojourn that Jesus spent on this earth, Jesus showed that his counsel was full of wonder. He left everyone in his presence with a sense of awe. He taught with authority, unlike any that had ever come before him or any that have ever been since. He confounded the religious leaders with parables and perspectives on the scriptures that turned everything upside down. You see, Jesus taught with a wisdom that was divine. Jesus said that the way up is to actually go down. Jesus said the way to be great is to serve. Jesus said that if you keep something, you'll lose it. But if you lose something, you'll actually find it. Much is little, and little is much if God is a part of it. Jesus said that freedom leads to slavery, and slavery actually leads to liberty. That man's wisdom is folly, and that foolishness is wisdom. Jesus said that one can be rich and be extremely poor. And he also said you can be very poor yet extremely rich. He said the strong are weak, that strength is made perfect in weakness. He said the first will be last, and the last will be first. His wisdom is amazing. And indeed, Jesus was, is, and always will be the Wonderful Counselor. The second description that Isaiah provided was that of Mighty God. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus proved himself to be God in the flesh by his awesome displays of power. He performed numerous miracles and healed those who had no hope. And to the astonishment of the Pharisees, Jesus forgave sins, something that only God was supposed to do. And Jesus received worship, something that was assigned only to God. Some thought his claims of divinity were finally extinguished when he was buried in the tomb. Yet the power of God was on display for all to see when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven. over and over, the actions and the words of Jesus provide clear evidence that he was and is and forever will be mighty God. The third descriptor in Isaiah's prophecy is that of everlasting Father. And that can also be translated as Father of Eternity. The scriptures say that it was Jesus who created all things, and therefore Jesus created time. Jesus is transcendent, which means he's before and above and beyond time. He possesses eternity. And he is eternally like a father to his people. This is not a statement about the Trinity and trying to get confused about, well, is Jesus the Father or is the Father the Father? No, this is something different. This is a characteristic about Christ, that he is fatherly. It's about his character. All that a good father is, Jesus is that to his people. And because he's like a father, he cares for his people. Because he owns eternity, he can give us eternal life through faith. That's important for those of us who are still under the curse of death. No one lives forever, and sooner or later we will all come to an end in this life. We're not immortal yet. We're here today, gone tomorrow, we're like withering grass. But Jesus is the Father forever. He is a Father forever. That's important because those of us who are fathers now, we will not be fathers forever. I am a father right now for Graham and Isaiah and Hudson and Micah and Angel and Gabe. But I will not be their father forever. Someday I will expire, as all human fathers must do. But Jesus is a father forever. He's just what we need. And he will always be there to guide us and help us through this life. Isaiah's proclamation still rings true. Jesus was and is and forever will be an everlasting father to his people. The final description of Isaiah's prophecy is that of the one to come would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus would bring peace between God and man. Jesus would bring peace between man and man, between each other. Because of God's great love for this world, he sent his one and only Son as the full payment for our sins. God demonstrated his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ came to earth as a man and died in our place. Jesus was the only one who ever lived a sinless life. His death appeased the wrath of God and made peace between God and man. Jesus made it possible for us to go from hostility to harmony with God. And once his peace rules in our hearts as his people, we're able to share that peace with others. We become his ambassadors and we offer this ministry of reconciliation to the world. Jesus and all that he brings truly was and is and forever will be the Prince of Peace. There's one other description in Isaiah's prophecy that's worth noting. And actually, I thought maybe we could sing it. Maybe. You guys were part of the choir or something, right? No? Well, I'll spare you, actually. I was going to try to sing it, but now I'm thinking, nah, probably not. But if you do sing it, you have to make sure you add lots of O's in there. Sho-o-o-o-older. So that's how that one goes. What does this mean? What is this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder? What does that mean? Well, near the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, there's a period of time that's described as that's coming that's known as the millennium, which will take place immediately after Jesus returns. Jesus will literally rule the nations for 1,000 years. He'll do that from his throne in Jerusalem. and he'll fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus will then bind Satan, and he'll put all things in order, including the government. And he will rule with justice and righteousness. Verse 7 of chapter 9 goes on to say this: of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. God displays his grace to us by giving us the gift of his Son. Jesus is the gift. The gift is not the wonderful wisdom that Christ provides. The gift is not the mighty miracles that Christ performs. The gift is not his everlasting fatherly care or the peace that Jesus brings. His gift is not even heaven. Those are only a shadow. Those things are secondary. The true gift of God to you is his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our sanctifier. He is our healer. He is our coming King. God is the best giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Maybe you've never unwrapped this gift that God has given you in Christ. Today could be your day of salvation. Today could be the day when you put your trust in the only one who can ever save you and forgive you of your sins. Today could actually be the day that you are rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light because of God's amazing grace. The scriptures say this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So as you celebrate this season of light, may your life overflow with the praise, with praises for the one who Isaiah foretold so long ago, the one who has called you out of darkness and placed you into his wonderful light. As you celebrate the first coming of Christ as a humble baby and await with great anticipation the second coming of Christ as conquering King, may your life be known as a symphony of unending praise for the Son who was given to us, who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.